with all great movies. They are the real deal. We watch them all, so you don't have to. It's movies that don't suck and some that do.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners of all ages, this is a new episode of Movies That Don't Suck and Some Do. My name is Neil.
And I'm Chris.
I almost said your name instead of my name. I have no idea why that was the way it was going to go today. But anyway, today is our big Panic Fest episode. Now, if you don't know what Panic Fest is this wonderful thing that comes out every year around the beginning of April. It's a big festival up in North Kansas City, right across the river from downtown Kansas City. It is a place that Chris has been going to for the last 3 years, and I get the chance to get the screeners and the films. In fact, there's a couple of pictures I think we have of Chris here at the Panic Fest. There's Panic Fest this year. You standing at the cat, which I have the cat shirt. I love the spooky cat shirt. It is one of the things. It's one of their big things. So these are a couple of photos. I believe this is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, that's Heather Langenkamp on the right.
Yeah, Heather Kimpling from Nightmare on Elm Street, which is one of my favorite films. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm wearing my Freddy Krueger socks right now. You can't see them under the desk. But now, what panel is this?
This is Blair Witch. That's Eduardo Sanchez and Michael C. Williams. The guy says,
"I kicked that fucker into the creek."
That's him right there.
So this is the Blair Witch Project, because I know they're working on a new one.
Yeah,
in the
that wasn't mentioned.
Announced that last week.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was supposed to be Joe Bob Briggs and Darcy Miller. Joe Bob got sick, so they had Joe Lynch going filling in for him. So that was the last drive-in. But it was that Darcy Miller girl, and that's nice. Joe Bob Lynch, I guess.
And here's a good picture of the good old Screenland Armor, the outside, which is one of our favorite theaters. Now,
this is my favorite theater, 100%.
It is to me, it's one of the best theaters I ever been in. I've lived in how many cities? Like, if you ever go to see what it looks like in the inside, this is what one of the theaters look like in the inside. So if you're watching this on the vlog, it's a nice, beautiful red velvet backsplash of, Kansas City over there on Swift Street, where the original Screenland was originated. It's one of the most beautiful theaters in the entire world. We love them. We love every time. I could not go this year. I wanted to go. Believe me, you could ask Chris earlier in last year. Mm-hmm. I was like, I am going to this year's Panic Fest. Yep. And then I got a friend that said, I got 14th row for WrestleMania. and I had to choose a weekend of movie theaters or me going to.
But no, 2025, me and you. Movies Don't Suck and Some Do will be at Panic Fest, both you and I.
Yeah, we are going to be there for sure, 100%. I'm writing it in gold right now, unless someone accidentally gives me front row tickets to WrestleMania. But that's neither here nor there. All right, so let's go over a couple of the movies that we're going to talk about today. So one of the first movies that we're going to talk about, give me 1 second. It's just going to take me a second to pull things up, because I want to make sure I'm pulling up the right here, because it's all Chris's fault. Yeah. He doesn't get me prepared for this at all. No. The first one is Ghost Game, which is what we're going to talk about. It's about participating in an internet challenge that requires breaking into homes and leaving undetected alongside the residents. A thrill-seeking couple target an infamous haunted house and endure a series of chilling incidences as they witness a family descending into
this
madness.
This is directed by local Star Wars producer Jill Six, she directed The Stylist. And so
nice. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that here in just a second. Let's introduce all the films real quick. I know you love diving into these things, and I want to dive into them, because there's a couple of these I really want to dive into. Here's another one, and that's called Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, and Frank. Now, this is about the Jennings family. Couldn't be more painfully suburban. But when an asshole Uncle Frank crashes their weekly Sunday dinner with a nasty surprise, murder turns up on the menu. Can the Jennings overcome secrets, dysfunction, and distances between them to learn the ultimate? The family that slays together stays together. That's another one of the movies. Oh, dude, these are all, there's a couple of these are just bangers. I mean, they hit it out of the park. There's two of them that I don't know if they might not be on my top 10 list at the end of the year at this moment. Like, really, yeah. Some of them are great. The next one is Live Screeners. It's a popular group of video game content creators must face the ultimate lesson in teamwork when a haunted multiplayer game begins killing them one by one. Mm-hmm. Then we have the movie No Clip. Two filmmakers set out on an adventure to a creepy old mall, only to find themselves lost in an increasingly claustrophobic maze of hallways, liminal spaces, stairways, and back rooms in the comedic found footage horror film. And then last but least, this one, man, at first I didn't know what the hell you were sending to me.
Yeah.
And, appreciate it, dog. But after watching it, we'll talk about it here in a little bit. I thought you were making fun of me and my family. it's Off-Ramp. A couple of lovable, degenerate juggalos. That's right, juggalos, as I said. What is a juggalo? Well, it's a dead body. Well, he ain't dead, but he's like, unlike seeing it before, he'll eat Monopoly and shit out Connect Four.
Actually,
but he must have tuned. What?
I was like, get back to the. Yeah.
But sojourn through America's hellish underbelly to the gathering of the juggalos, the one place on Earth they feel accepted. Now, Chris, you gave me five films. Uh-huh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are films that you all, because there's way more than just these five.
Yeah, I saw tons of them.
If you go to panicfilmfest.com, there is literally a ton of films there. Mm-hmm. I can't even count them all. Like, I could probably count them all, but, you know, why do you want to see me count? You want to see me, like, talk about movies, right? That's what we're here about.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah.
So, now, this is the thing. Chris, you were there.
Yeah.
So 155 films. Tim just popped in 155 films. We'll put that up there for everybody to see. Yeah. 155 films were all there. And again, the ones I've seen, man, I'm ready to talk about these. So Chris, which one do you want to talk about first? These are the ones that you chose.
Let's talk about No Clip first.
No Clip.
Okay.
Let's not do that one. Let's do that one in the middle.
Okay,
let's
sounds good. All right, let's
get that one in the middle.
Let's talk about Live Screeners then. How about Live Screeners?
Live Screeners. Okay. Now, Live Screeners, again, I'll introduce it. And Chris, you tell us all the information about it. Live Screeners is a popular group of video game content creators must face the ultimate lesson in teamwork when a haunted multiplayer game begins killing them one by one. You got the information in front of you?
Yeah. So, real quick, I want to mention this was actually a sequel to Live Scream, which is the film. It's like a spiritual sequel. It's not the same thing. But the same director, Michelle Iacchino.
Like Evil Dead. Evil Dead 2 was the sequel to Evil Dead, but it was kind of just an offshoot.
Yeah. So, Michelle Iacchino directed and wrote it, produced it. And this the cast of Michael Smallwood, Nemo Sanchez, Kristen Trinidad, but there's tons of other things in this, but I'm trying to figure out what best. You know, why don't you go ahead and I read the description, so I'm sorry, guys. This is a little different way that we do it.
It's a different way of doing it, but here, I'll jump right into it. This is about a group of guys that a fan gets a chance to sit down with these creators, and they pop in this video game, and this video game is like a haunted mansion, almost like a Clue meets Resident Evil.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to choose two games to smash together to make the description of this. Now, this game, not this game, but this movie reminds me a lot of like the dark web movies that we watched. Unfriended. Finding the ones where it's all you see the computer and you're not actually looking through a filming lens. Like it's like a live camera, kind of like how you can see me and Chris on the platform right now. But if you're listening to the podcast and not watching the vlog, you know, it'd be like watching a vlog on Twitch of gamers playing video games, which is a very common thing these days.
Yeah.
And it is about all the secrets that these people have.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of Host. I don't know if you remember Host from a couple of years ago.
Yes, yeah, Host is a good one. Yeah,
and this one is One, better than Host. I love this thing. One of the things that I think was so cool is that the director, she used Unreal Engine to make this movie. Like, all that stuff that you see, that the vegan stuff, she made herself. Like, so...
Yes, and, dude, it is... So all that computer programming was done by one person?
Yeah, well, yeah, well, yeah. All that stuff that was done by her. She created the whole world that they're playing in.
Like, because there was, man, I was wondering if there was, like, a whole team behind that. Yeah. Or, like, so it's like you're walking through the video game with them, guys. Yeah. And while it's going on, different challenges come up. Like, there's one challenge where literally a phone pops up and it starts revealing text messages that one of the creators
which
had.
Which is so fucking crazy. Yeah.
It's so, I don't want to ruin too much of this because I feel like this is one of those that when it gets, like, if it gets put on Shudder, if it gets put on, you know, any platform it is. Because, yeah, it is kind of, I don't even think it's B-filming shit, really. Yeah. Because it really reminds me of those, oh, man, what were the name of the... Dark Web? What was the name of those movies that we watched with that? Oh, I can't remember any of them now.
I'm sorry, pal. But
it's like Dark Web. And then there's that one Missing with that lady mom was missing. Yeah. But it reminds me of those. But this game is like everything is like they have the they did like a Simon Says kind of spot. They did the cut the wire, but you got to read the instructions before you cut the wire because you cut the wrong wire. You know, red is blue, blue is red, or something like that.
Yeah.
This was creative.
Yeah,
this was just very creative.
Yeah. I was looking to see that I had a Q&A with the director afterwards. So she was there to talk about the movie, all kinds of cool stuff. And I really hope that this gets talked about because it needs to. I feel like it needs to.
This is one of those movies that the creativity alone just brings so much to it. And that's the thing about, that's why I love movies at Panic Fest, because the creativity that comes out of movies like this, because they don't have the $1 million budgets. They don't have, you know, this massive amount of, they have to be creative to figure out what they can do to create the visions that they have.
Yeah, it was really a surprise, this one.
When did you see this one?
I saw this one, oh man, I think it was like a Friday, I think. I brought Leah and a couple friends with me to see this one.
Was it in this beautiful theater?
No, it was
right here.
Theater 2. So the smaller
Theater 2. Oh, the smaller one. The smaller one. Oh man, I love the smaller one too, though.
It's just everyone that's at Panic Fest just loves movies. You know what I mean? So, like, when you're there, do you feel like you're kind of with, I don't know, it's going to sound weird, but family, I guess. Like, you know, like, it's just that everyone there is there for the same reason you are. So I'm very happy. Panic Fest is
now
my favorite time of year, yeah.
So the producer, the director, and the screenwriter is all the same person. Michelle, I'm not even trying to pronounce that
last name. Ayana Tuona.
Now, has she done anything else, or is this
Live Scream, which is actually on YouTube? Live Scream, which is the spiritual, like the predecessor to this one.
So the predecessor to this right here.
You can see it on YouTube. Live Scream. I'd recommend it too.
And it looks like she has. Let's see on her IMDb. Just pulling her up real quick. She's from Charleston, South Carolina, based filmmaker and novelist. Mm-hmm. In both mediums, she leans towards the genres of horror, sci-fi, and fantasy. Yep. Duh. stories told with passion and great emotion. Love that. She's had a camera in her hand since the age of 9. Yeah. And her direct first real short story, she was 24. Now, man, there's also Psychosis, it looks like, Detroit Evolution, and Femme Fatale are all things that she has written. Oh, and even a short called Devil's Advocate, which has my intrigue. Now, Chris, what did you like about this movie?
Okay, well, like you said, it was very creative. You and I have seen tons of movies about this sort of thing, like from the view of a webcam. But this one is different in the fact that, I mean, one, the video game world was there. And I don't think we've seen a movie that does that at the same time. And just sort of, and it was also, it had shit to say. Which a lot of these movies, they're like, oh yeah, we're talking about technology and the thing. This, but this one, it had technology, but that wasn't the main like criticism in this one. That was just part of it. Like, it's part of the world. And this one actually had shit to say, and it was fucking entertaining, dude. It was really good. Like,
there are so many scenes in this movie that, like, I'm just like, okay, nothing's gonna top that scene. That's it. That's the top of the iceberg. Mm. Then the next scene comes, and you're like, nope. I was just dumb. Why did I think that?
There's a great twist at the end, too. You know, like, you don't realize, you don't see this. I mean, this movie, Live Screamers, is fucking great. I'm glad we saw it. So I'm really glad we saw this movie. And I'm really glad that I hope Michelle gets everything she gets for this. I hope she gets wide distribution. Because this seems to me like it could go on Shudder. You know, like, it could be on Screambox. It could be anywhere, you know?
It could literally be doing anything all the time, anywhere, and I would be there for it.
All right. Do you want me to?
I would have loved to have seen this in a theater, though. Yeah. Like, that's my own thing. Like, I got to see it all here on the screeners. And yeah, I have a nice size, decent sized television. I'm not going to say it's huge or anything like that. But, like, I know when to say it's big and when it's not.
Do you want me to?
Anyway, Chris, out of five, just like how we do 0 out of 5, how we do every single movie. Mm-hmm. What would you give this out of a 5?
Probably 4.1 out of 5.
You know, I'm right there with you. I really thought the creativity of this. I'm going to go higher. I like this one. I really, really like this one. I like the blood and gore. I'm a big gore guy when it comes to a good horror movie like this. Mm-hmm. And the gore was surprising. It wasn't like, you know, oh, you're going to see a gory film. It was like, all of a sudden, here's some gore. and it was like surprising how some of the ideas and steps and different things came about. So I'm going to go 4.2 on this one. I really liked it. I was a big fan of it. The storyline was great. Like, I don't know how you can make an independent movie better. Like, if the... Mm-hmm.
Oh, so yeah, the movie's mm-hmm. all about independence. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention that Rotten Tomatoes has 4 reviews, and they're all fresh on this one.
Yeah. And this, seriously, so if you get a chance, again, the movie is called Live Screamers. It is a great movie. Me and Chris both, if you watch any kind of content online, like, especially like, you know, two middle-aged men that review movies, this is definitely the kind of content you'll like.
37 is middle-aged, right? That's middle-aged, 37, right?
I don't know anymore. I'm 105. Yeah. I just dye my hair. Like, I mean, I dye my hair and hide everything, so nobody knows what my real age is. All right, Chris, moving on. Let's go to the next movie. Let's do Ghost Game.
Ghost Game. This one, Best Director at Panic Fest by Jill Jefferson. She directed The Stylist. Neil Lunch, this still is... Kia Dorsey, Zane Hyder, Michael.
I kicked that fucker into the creek!
C. Williams. Emily Bennett. Neil, what's your storyline for Ghost Game?
Ghost Game. Ghost Game, participating in an internet challenge that requires breaking into homes and living undetected alongside the residents. A thrill-seeking couple target an infamous haunted house and endure a series of chilling incidents as they witness a family descending into madness.
So, no, I'm really interested to hear what you thought of this one. Because this was a...
All right, so this is like my worst fear ever.
Frogging.
Like, I remember like seeing like Reddit articles or whatever the heck it... I don't know if it was Reddit articles mm-hmm. or how long ago. Maybe it could have been tabloids mm-hmm. where there was a guy living in like the attic of someone's house for like 2 years mm-hmm. and they never knew it. They just thought there was like a critter up in the roof yeah. until it got like someone to go up there. Yeah. This movie is literally my every fear. Now, what's the best way to say this? I love the idea.
Yeah.
I love the idea.
Yeah.
There's one thing I love most in a movie is when it can give me a twist.
Yeah.
That I didn't see coming. And I thought, I knew there was going to be a twist, but I thought the twist was something completely different. I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
But I thought the ending was going to come about a different way. We can state that.
Yeah.
What this doesn't tell you is that the house that they're staying in, it's part of the story. I'm not really ruining anything or giving any, but the part of the story is that they go into a house that this family gets that is supposedly haunted because of a woman who poisoned her whole family with custard. With custard, my favorite thing
to
eat. and literally killed her whole family and then drowned them in bathtubs while they're she didn't kill them with the custard. She paralyzed them and then drowned them in bathtubs. And supposedly their spirits are amongst the house.
Yeah.
And that's why the family could move in, because they got the house for so cheap.
By the way, I don't know if that's the case. Like, I work in that sort of industry, and I haven't figured out the value of a murder house. I don't know, like, exactly, like, how that affects the value of a house. But
years ago, if it was like the 80s or 90s or whatever, you would have to sell it for less. But these days, there's so many sickos like us out in this world that would definitely move into a murder house right away. I mean, my wife tries to buy things that are possessed just so we can try to get a ghost in the house.
Yeah. So the game is Ghost Game, and that's what these people are playing. And this one goes into a different house, and that's sort of the story of it.
Spit on that a little bit. They put on masks and they go into a house and they pull pranks on people. Nothing to physically harm them.
Yeah.
They can't steal anything. Like, there's rules, and then they post it on the dark web.
Yeah.
And that's what the game is.
Yeah. And I thought that was a really cool concept for a movie. You know, it was directed by Adam Cesari, and this was directed by Jill, and she got contacted by it and they got to do it. And,
I mean, this movie doesn't even have a poster yet. Is like brand new out of the box.
This is touring festivals right now. And
I literally took a photo. One photo I found of one of them in a mask, and I made this poster. So, you know, don't sue me, anybody. I'm just trying to help promote. That's all I'm doing here.
I'm trying to think of the best way to talk about this one without giving anything away, because there's a lot of stuff to unpack in this one. I love the two. I want to say the three leads. I love them all. They were all fucking fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. And of course I did. I love, you know, Michael C.
Williams. I kicked that fucker into the creek.
He was great in this. That's the only clip I got for this episode. Sorry, guys. I'm going to overuse it. But I did feel near the end a little undercooked.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say earlier, and I went on a tangent about something else. Yeah. It felt like at the end, it was rushing to the end.
Yeah, it did.
Like, it was a great buildup, and I just heard this about a movie that we're going to be reviewing tomorrow on the podcast called Civil War, where it kind of feels like at the end they just lost. They didn't have any more money, or they didn't have any more ideas, and they just kind of ended it. And that's what I kind of feel like at the ending. I feel like it should have got to the ending part a little bit quicker, so that ending part could have a little more time to boil,
yeah,
a little more time to cook.
Yeah,
you know.
So when it ended, I was like, I mean, I liked most of it, and I liked parts. I really liked. There's some masterful parts of this movie, but there are parts where I'm like, okay, get to the point, or, you know, like, it seemed a little uneven. Not saying I didn't like this movie, because I did, but it just seemed a little uneven to me.
Yeah, and I got that same feeling too, and I love the concept of this movie. Yeah. I love the idea of this movie.
I love some of the shots in this. The masks in this are great.
The mask in this shape, the acting was pretty good. The freaking, the twist, I love the twist, but the thing is, it wasn't early enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it felt like, here's the twist, 5 minutes over. And that, like, you don't have enough time to sit with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like they needed to sit with that twist a little bit longer. And that's about it. I think that's the thing about my only complaint. Besides that, the house was spooky. I mean, I don't know why the guy kept sitting around in a house with spider webs and didn't wipe the webs off at some point.
That was like, just me like going, like, do something.
Like, you see this bookshelf behind me? See all that clutter on that? I don't like that, but I do it because it looks cool for a visual. But all those comic books are listed alphabetically and by category of what comic book company.
I can't imagine what it would be like if you walked in the house and you're around and you're like, this, I have to clean this up right now.
I would at least take 45 minutes to just wipe everything down, and I'd be like, all right, I feel kind of normal. Right. I mean, even when I was homeless, I used to wipe down the slide I slept on.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. All right, Neil, what's your score on this? Out of 1 out of 5. If you guys are listening to the podcast the first time, we rate everything through 0 through 5, which, luckily, nothing's at 0 yet. But, you know, what's your score on this?
The creativity moves it a little bit, so I'm going to have to go, I'll give this like a 3.7 on it. And again, the only thing is, like, I just feel like that back end of the movie should have cooked a little bit more. Like, I felt like it was rushing to the end after the twist happens, and that kind of upset me a little bit. But still, I would watch this again. If someone said, hey, I want to sit down and watch this. And that's the thing with me is rewatchability.
Yeah.
I could rewatch it again.
I'm going 3.5 just because, like, the ending really missed the mark for me. I could have used a bit more. But that's not saying I didn't like this. You know, it's over above average. It's a good movie. I think that I like the stylist a bit more. But I can't wait to see what Jill does next. You know?
Yes. Always waiting for the next thing. All right, now next, we were going to talk about a film that was filmed in a location literally, what, like 11 blocks away from where I used to live?
Crown Center.
And it's called No Clip. Chris, tell us some info about No Clip.
It's directed by Gavin Charles and Alex Kahn. That's it. Like, they were the screenwriters, the directors, the stars of this movie. They had an editor, it was Gavin Charles, and they had a I should have written down the sound editor and visual effects guy, but they had one of those. And it was made by 3 people, basically. It's called New Clip. Neil, let's read the story for New Clip.
2 filmmakers set out on an adventure in a creepy old mall, only to find themselves lost in an increasingly claustrophobic maze of hallways, aluminum spaces, stairways, and back rooms in the comedic found footage horror film. All right. Who wants to go first?
Man, okay, so this is 61 minutes long, and when you it opens up with these two guys, so it starts out with these two guys, Gavin and Alex. They're walking in with they're filming this on your phone, so you can see definitely it's phone footage, and they're walking in, and they obviously just got high, and they're talking a lot about liminal space, walking through Crown Center. They're going through back hallways. They're visiting offices they can't open, and that's
the whole movie. That's literally it. All right, this is my whole. I'm gonna come at it, man. And Gavin, Alex, hey, man, you can come at me anytime. I'll give you my address. Come on down. I'll let you review anything I ever done in my entire history of man. All right, but I gotta just say this straight. What the fuck was this? All right. I am not a guy that doesn't. I love a good beverage. I love a good smoke. I live in a state where all that is not recreational, but I got a license, so it doesn't matter.
Well, they're in Missouri. They can definitely do it recreationally.
But the description of this movie sounds better than what the movie actually is. Mm-hmm. If you actually made it so it looked like it was a horror movie, that you were getting lost, it didn't seem like you guys were getting lost. It just looked like you couldn't open up some doors And then you're like, okay, I can't open that door. And I guess we'll go up the stairs.
Like the liminal space that was probably said about 18 times in this movie. The guy was explaining this is what these spaces were, the transitory spaces, mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. And that's fine. But when that's all you're doing in the movie, and I understand that about halfway through the movie, there is some messing with like the, you know, the
and I like that. I like that. And I think if they added more of that, or if they made it so they're going down the same hallway over and over and over and over again, but actually talk about what's going on, like it just was silence of people going up and downstairs
and then muttering things that I couldn't hear.
I could not hear 90% of what was going on. And like, then all of a sudden they're like, there's like this dude gets like soot on his hands from something.
Yeah.
And that could have been a selling point. That could have been a point, but no, you just go to the bathroom and you wash your hands. Yeah. You could have been like, oh, they don't want us here. Look, they're trying to burn the skin off of us something like.
They're just a bunch of two stoners because they were high, obviously. I'm sure they had a great time making this, but I didn't think, like, and I'm not a guy that needs a pot in every movie, but mm-hmm. I do want something to pay off to if this is what we're doing for the first 45 minutes. You know, like,
dude, you could make it, you could have like said like 5 minutes into it, you could have been like, oh, somebody died in this and they found him in a corner staring at the wall. And then at the end, done the corner staring at the wall and boom, you got a Blair Witch Project. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a little bit of substance.
But it was them wandering Crown Center for, and I did like the fact that every cut shot, he had something different to drink, like water or coffee. But yeah, I didn't get it. To me, it was undercooked. It was nothing. It was a bunch of buildup to no payoff. And like I said, I'm not a guy who needs a plot in a movie. I'm fine with that. But this one didn't have the magic.
It just didn't seem like it was a complete thought.
Yeah. You know, like a lot of times you let the camera roll and there's magic there. There's none of that here. And they didn't have that part that brought it together. And I'm sorry, Gavin and Alex, I think they might be listening right now, but I'm sorry, guys. It just didn't do it for me, and I just
And we're not going to touch on it any more than that. It was thank you guys for giving a shot. Please, I can't wait to see the next thing you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll watch anything you guys do, but
I'm just seeing a little bit of substance more. And if you want to bitch at me, hell, if I owe you a beer next time I'm in Kansas City, I'll buy you a beer and a shot.
If you guys see me out, I'll definitely get you guys something to drink if you want.
You're never out, so you're like,
I go out and do
that's
stuff.
Like, that's like, hey, if you see Elvis coming from the UFO, you know, like that's about the same thing.
I'll be milling around your screen line every now and again.
I know, I got it. Dude, I got so many concerts I got to work this weekend.
I got five I'm going to next month and a half, so.
Four I'm working and it's just the next four in 5 days. But anyway, so to give this rating, you know what? I'm not even going to give this rating. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to tear them down. Guys gave it a try. It wasn't something for us. Wish you the best. I want to see what you do next time.
It could be for other people. It could be other for other people. You know what I mean? Like maybe some people.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, because if I give it's going to be a very low rating, and I don't want to tear anybody's self-esteem down more than that.
So I read some people say that maybe you should be high while watching this. I don't do that. Like, guys, I have this sort of stupid rule that I'm not any sort of high or drunk. Anytime
he doesn't get high on his own supply, you know, and he's a big dope dealer in Kansas City. I don't know if you know
he's
this.
He's trying to get me swatted right now.
Please raid Chris's house. I'll give you the address. It's 2728.
Good luck, man. You want to?
But No Clip was a good try for some good first time people. But Chris, I think it's time to talk about a movie I've been dying to talk to you about, because I really think you chose this one just because of who me and my family is. And that is about the Juggalos, the way to the gathering. Chris, give us a little information on the movie known as Off-Ramp.
Off-Ramp, directed by Nathan Tape. This stars John Oswald, Scott Turner, Schofield, Ashley Smith, Neil, why don't you go ahead and read the story for Off-Ramp?
A couple of lovable, degenerate juggalos
must soar through America's hellish underbelly to the gathering of the Juggalos, the one place on Earth they feel accepted.
Okay, so full disclosure, guys, I am not a Juggalo. Not far from it. In fact, I picked this movie as a kind of antithesis. Wondering, I didn't know what to expect. I'm not a Juggalo. Like, I kind of hate ICP, right? But after seeing this movie, I respect Juggalos. After seeing this movie, I think I respect him a bit more.
What's a Juggalo? A Hulkamaniac. He'll power bomb you, motherfucker, into thumbtacks. One time he was on an able. He sabooed your mama through a coffee table. Anyway, I am not a Juggalo. I just know these songs because my sister is a Juggalette. Damn. And I grew up in northern Indiana, next to the Michigan border, where literally the Juggalos or the ICP started. And that was the song I'm singing is actually from, I think, their third album, The Great Malenko. The one that was the most popular. Mm-hmm. And so I know those songs. I know Great Malenko backwards and forwards. I listen to that. And the song Homies by them, that's a good song if you ever. But now, Juggalos are not a gang, like the FBI says. If you don't believe me, go watch. There's a great documentary about Juggalos. Oh, what was it called? It's on Prime. I'll find it here in a second while you're talking in a moment. But Juggalos do. My sister is a Juggalo, Juggalette, married to a Juggalo. Like, they are about family. They are about stuff. That being said, it wouldn't even have to be Juggalos.
Yeah.
This movie was creative as fuck. I love. They told a story inside of a story inside of a story. There was every character had a good story, except for a couple of the side characters you don't really learn about. But like every main character, anybody that got more than 10 minutes of FaceTime with you on the screen told a great story or told you about their life.
So I was watching this last night, and about halfway through, I switched from being ambivalent to really liking this. Like, there is some things to be said about this one, and all the characters, man. Like, all the characters are fucking believable. Like, I like Off Ramp. It's something I didn't expect to like that much at all. I picked it because I'm not a Juggalo, and I kind of hate Juggalos, but not anymore. We changed my mind a bit.
The documentary, I finally found it while you were talking, is The United States of Insanity, the story of the Controversial Rap Duo, Insane Clown Posse, ICP, their fans known as Juggalos, on-showing struggle, the FBI trying to mark them as gang members. Now, it's with Juggalos and ICP and their family, it's literally like hippies that follow the Grateful Dead or Fish or, you know, Sublime or whoever is the jam band of the year. They are a little crazier. They are a little kookier. And they do a little more harder drugs than most of those guys. But this movie here talked about two guys getting in trouble, trying to get each other's back, and then some of the most fucked up things I've seen in a movie.
I was like, no, don't do it. There's a lot of that going on.
Everything from like a guy drinking his sister's breast milk so he could get heal up better. I'm not gonna go more than that. Like there's spots in this movie that I was just like, what the fuck? Right.
And parts where you're like, oh, like you can tell that the love between the two main characters is so
real.
It's like me and you, pal. Real.
It's like me and you, Chris.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Okay, but anyway, they'll never know where the body is, Chris. Anyway, But great movie. The two main actors played off each other really well.
They were so good.
The characters were in depth. I don't know if they're really Juggalos or not. I need to look that up. I didn't even do that. I didn't have enough time.
If they're watching, I hope they can send email or DM us. Yeah, I think, right? Probably.
What's that?
They could probably DM us if they're watching this. Let's see if they do. But
I don't know.
Okay, but... But I want to mention, the writer Tim Cairo, and this stars Reed Diamond played Gavin, Jared Bankins played Scarecrow, and and Scott Turner Schofield played Silas, and just the Silas and the Trey character just all together, John Oswalt, Scott, they had this chemistry right away, you know, like the chemistry between all those two and even another character, Eden, played by Ashley Smith, that was palpable. It was there, you know, and that's how you make a movie work, when you have the chemistry between the characters, and they definitely had it, and it really turned me around.
Oh, this movie. My God, Chris! What? All right, so neither one of these guys are juggalos.
Oh, really?
They were all just acting. I'm going to get you some pictures in about 2 seconds, brother.
Okay.
And you're going to be, and this is directly from their IMDb's. Don't look it up.
Okay.
Just take a second.
Okay.
And I will engulge you in some stuff that you're just going to like, those are not the same two guys. You're gonna say that out loud. Well, okay, maybe one of them you might think. This is directly from their IMDb's. So don't.
Okay, yeah, I won't say anything.
IMDb. Why do I say IMDb?
It's IMDb. IMDb. I've converted.
Yeah, I always say backwards. I'm not dyslexic.
Yeah,
which there's nothing wrong with. Okay, so the leader of this group, here he is.
Trey. Oh, he's looking like a lumberjack.
He does not look like any. He looks like a lumberjack more than anything. Are you ready for the crazy guy?
Yeah.
The crazy dude with the weird hair.
Oh, that's Silas. He's looking so sweet.
he looks like a guy who plays like keyboard in a Creed cover band.
Yeah, right. I know. I hope he's not upset by that. I'm sorry if you don't like that, man, but. But,
I mean that in a good. I'm a lead singer of a Nickelback cover band. There you go. Because I recently got to like Nickelback because that time I saw them.
And we just lost 17 listeners. So.
And we lost everybody. But seriously, good movie. The concepts were great. There was some. The story basically was the two guys run into like a sheriff and they give him trouble and they have to figure out how to get out of trouble on their way to the gathering of the juggalos. The characters, it is a road movie, is a road horror movie, but because of juggalos, they got places they can go hide, things they can do.
And I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for road movies. So seeing this,
I am too. I mean, like Devil's Rejects is like one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
That's,
you know, like
that's the better of the three, right?
I'm a huge fan of House of a Thousand Corpses because of the cartoonishy of it.
Yeah.
But Devil's Reject, like, you know, it's Devil's Reject. It's just those are two different movies. That's like saying.
But we're talking some of the three from Hell because that's the, you know.
We know why that went down. So we don't have to point fingers at anything. Hey, people can make good movies that make bad movies.
Yeah, that's true.
But off ramp, I'm going to go ahead and give my. Go ahead. Do you have something to say about it still? Or
no, off ramp is just it's something that surprised me. I'm not a juggalo still. I'm not. You won't find me jamming ICP. Even though they kind of blew up on TikTok, they did that song. Yeah, whoop whoop. But too much trouble in the popo.
The other thing too about the movie too. Is that it's kind of a documentary additive to it because it teaches you about the lifestyle of juggalos.
Yeah. And it's not the best lifestyle, but it's a lifestyle nonetheless. But my score in this is probably 4.1, 4.2. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I'm same number. Yeah, I'm yeah. same number because this movie it informs you. It tells a good story, and it shows that any sense of family can be your family and not just your blood relative.
It's kind of fucking hilarious too. There's some really funny parts.
And it's fucking hilarious in spots. Like literally, and plus, if you ever listen to the songs. the song Homies by ICP, which I'm guessing these guys are ICP fans. So if they ever hear this, they'll probably appreciate this. Mm-hmm. There is even a line in the song called Homies by ICP. Let me see if I can remember exactly the lyric. The lyric is, I'm going to look it up. I'm just going to cheat.
Okay.
The lyric is,
yeah, so
let me ask you about this life and the life that we live, and let me tell you, swerve some of the attention you give to those distant ass relatives over a ham dinner. If they really miss you so much, that's why don't they just call you?
Okay, all right.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, that's what the point of this movie is. It's like, look, I probably love my family more than anybody here, but my homies are my family too. Third cousins, get the fuck out of here. You know, who was you with when you got tattooed? Who you're doing when you're tripping the mushrooms? Who the fuck threw up all over your car and then felt worse than you about the shit in the morning? Like, literally, like, it's like, that's what I feel like this movie was, like retelling of the song Homies.
Yeah, yeah. So we both get 4.2 for both of us. Now we're going to talk about Mother.
Now, no, wait. You're jumping the gun. You're taking my part of the gig, bro.
Sorry.
All right, Chris, yeah. If you noticed, I saved a movie for last. I saved a movie for last.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is, in my opinion, before we even jump into it, this was the best film that you sent me out of all the films. And that, guys, is...
Oh, Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, Frank. Written by Keaton Douglas. Starring Aaron Kukal, Tony, Mindy Cohn, Melanie Leishman, Ian Stewart, Juan Chiron, Neil... Read the story on for Mother, Sister, Brother, Frank.
Mother, Father, the Jennings families couldn't be more painfully suburban. But when asshole Uncle Frank crashes their weekly Sunday dinner with a nasty surprise, murder turns on the menu. Can the Jennings overcome secrets, dysfunction, and the distance between them to learn that ultimately the family that slays together stays together?
This movie was fucking hilarious.
This movie was not only hilarious, but the amount of anxiety you get from watching it. Every second, you think these fuckers are going to get busted for murdering. Now, we're not going to say what, who, when, where, and why, but they all murder somebody. And then it is like a whole movie of like, are they going to get caught? Are they not going to get caught? I mean, it'll be just like a random moment, like a neighbor will randomly knock on the door all of a sudden. And it's like...
And they even have, like, people, they have a family, they sort of get together and sort of find them, their dirty laundry. It's nice. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, like, if the brother and sister, like, air all their dirty laundry to the mom and dad. Mom and dad, like, and... Mom and dad, like, there's a way they do this, and I'm not going to say what their little secret is or anything. I'm not going to ruin any of their little secrets. But mom and dad, from the beginning of the movie, obviously has something they want to say. and it's just like, oh, my God, am I watching a movie where, like, mom and dad gets divorced?
I know.
Like, yeah. Like, you know, and then they're going to meet, like, the random guy because you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I guess you do know because we said Uncle Frank, but like in the movie, I didn't know it was Uncle Frank. If they should have not said Uncle, they should have just said Asshole Frank. they ruined their own movie by giving that description out, but I didn't ruin it. But every twist and turn around this movie was just completely, utterly different, and it was a family fighting together, even though they're fighting against each other and being angry with each other, but they all know that, hey, if we don't help each other, we're definitely not going to.
God, I thought the Uncle Frank character was fucking hilarious, by the way. When you show up, I'm like,
it's on like Donkey Kong. After Frank shows up, it's just like one of those movies, like.
It's like a fucked up Grandpa movie, Rick or something. Freaking Morty.
Literally, it was one of those movies that it just, man, I don't even know what to say. It was, the acting was fun. Mom, what's her name?
Her name is Joy Mindy Kaling. Is the mom's actress name Mindy Kaling?
Yeah, and like, there's so many. She was so adorable at first. Mm-hmm. I thought she was Mom from the 70s show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. You know, at first,
like she's that adorable.
Yeah.
She's like, and then Dad's like, wine. Costco had a sale. I want you to count. Okay, man. If you want to have a drinking game for this movie, mother, father, sister, brother, Frank, the drinking game would be, how many times does the dad say he saved money at Costco?
I want to mention this.
I don't know if Costco is the supporter for this movie, but
so this was the actual world premiere was at Panic Fest this year. So congratulations on that. And I mean, it's just I was surprised at how good this was. That's how it was. I walked in sort of knowing nothing about it, and then when it was done, I was like, that was fucking hilarious. I had a really good time watching this movie. There's gore in it.
Yeah, like this gore. Is, you know? You like the gore. You got the gore. You get the fun factor. I mean, nothing like a drunken gay guy to show up on your lawn screaming in the middle of the night of a snowstorm. Like, there's so many aspects of this film that just come apart, that came together so well. This was so creative. I'm not dissing the video quality or anything like that, but this is a movie that could easily be a Hollywood blockbuster.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, you'd have to refilm it. And I'm not even saying recast the cast, because I like the cast. I'm just saying, you know, it'd have to be the better quality, more money into it and stuff like that. But I love this movie. This easily could be a cult classic if it was on a DVD that I picked up at Walmart at midnight. I'd watch.
Shopped around festivals. I did believe this festivals will be jumping on this. I really do. Mother, father, yeah, sister, brother, Frank.
This is seriously not only is this one of my favorite movies this year at Panic Fest 2024, I think this is one of my favorite Panic Fest movies ever. Like, this is, like, for some reason, this just hit all my happy spots. And I can't even tell you more than that. I can't even think. Bless you. Bless the Panic Fest and everything it's done for us. And
so, Caden Douglas, thanks for this. My score in this, what's your score? I give my score in the last. What's your score in this one?
This is why I only said 4.2 on the other one, because this one gets a 4.5. This is really, really good. The only reason is because of the filming quality, and that's just because I have to rate Hollywood movies tomorrow, and I can't give any of those a good score. And, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know if you're tipping your hand for tomorrow, but we'll see.
Yeah, but anyway, so this movie was really great. I loved it. Again, if I had this in my collection, 10 people who come over to my house would probably have seen it already.
All right, my score in this, 4.3. But out of all the movies that we saw, this is the one I'd show my friends. Because it's such a fucking well-made, just kind of, it's just good, man. It's that comedy horror thriller that you want, you know, like, and it's funny as fuck. It's so funny. It's so cool.
It is. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, Panic Fest is one of the best things that happens in film. I know a lot of people that, watches are from the Tulsa or Kansas City area that support us and stuff like that. Yeah. Guys, if you've never gone to Panic Fest, even for a day,
yeah.
If you want to just try up there and go for a day. Or
if you want to, you can buy, if you can't make it, do the virtual fest. The virtual fest, you can get a ton of great movies there. You know, a lot of the movies that we talked about, I think most of them you can find in the virtual fest, and I really hope you guys do. If you can't make it here, I understand. But you can be at home and watch movies. Go ahead and buy the Virtual Fest next year, 2025.
I mean, like, look right here, guys. This is literally the website. You go right through it. They have all the wonderful pictures and, you know, of course, all the gear and stuff like that. Oh, those are all the people that showed up this year.
Yeah, I just saw them.
You know, they got the rewind videos and stuff like that. Now, right here in the virtual, you can go right there and it will take you to, well, normally it would take you to live events, live streams. There's a catalog and all the above that for the Panic Film Festival. Panic Film Festival is literally one of the best things to go to if you get a chance. I mean, they got scheduled, they got all the people, short film showcase.
They even have like live podcasts, you know, like, you know.
Yeah. How to fest, attending the festival. They tell you exactly. You can volunteer for it. Seriously, just go over to panicfilmfest.com. It is one of the best. Go to it. I still haven't been.
Yeah.
And that's all Chris's fault.
No, it's not.
that was WrestleMania. Hey, now I do want to apologize to people at Panic Fest because I did say the year before I was going to be there. But you do have to take my apology. I was at the greatest WrestleMania of all time. All right. And that's not me just saying that. That's how it's going down in history.
So just so you guys know, this is not only Panic Fest episode. The two episodes coming up. One focused on short films and then one focused on long form shorts. And those are coming up before the end of this month. So
yeah. We still have a couple weeks to get them all in, and me and Chris do run our other review other movies that are going to be the theaters, the movies and the stuff. But we are going to cover more of Panic Film Festival. All so much that I made a beautiful background for us. I made it so it's nice and beautiful. I, you know, even set the lights into a purple ambiance. You need some LEDs, man.
I probably should tell people where to find this, right?
No, don't tell them where to find us. Just let them magically use their own abilities.
You can find us online at www.movies.don'tsuck.net. We're also at Facebook at facebook.com/moviesdon'tsuckpodcast. One X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Media's Podcast, which we're streaming for the first time today. We're also on Instagram, Media's Podcast. We are on Patreon. Patreon.com/moviesdon'tsuck. If you guys want to throw $2 or $3 our way, help them get a value menu. Meal like Wendy's, right?
I like Wendy's.
Okay,
I like Wendy's. I'm more of a Dairy Queen person, but they're not anywhere. They're like the nearest one's like 20 miles away.
I thought they were more in Oklahoma. Anyway, Panic.
There used to be. Then the pandemic happened.
You know, bonfire.com, such movies don't suck, and something you'll find shirts with our faces on it, our names on it, and stuff Neil has made. And where you find podcasts, you find movies that don't suck, and something new. If you watch Facebook like that. Like our page or watch some YouTube, subscribe. We like subscribers, and I really hope you guys enjoyed this Panic Fest episode. And you know, thanks for watching. I know it's been more today
and listening, and people that are all in here, thank you for very much for watching. Jump in the chat more next time. We'll be more than happy to add your comments right to the conversation, like you saw that we did with the few people that did. We want to be a part of your life. We want you to be a part of ours. Chris, I guess at this point, we just got to do the one thing. Oh, you know what? I'll even say we support all local support businesses and stuff like that. So if you have business and you want our support, I'll be more than happy to advertise you right here on this podcast to our thousands of listeners or millions of followers at Movies That Don't Suck and some that do. I guess, Chris, at this point.
Well, I got one more thing to say real quick.
I kicked that fucker into the creek.
All right, and
now you made me lose my train of thought. I hate when you do that.
Sorry.
Just go for it. That's another episode of Movies That Don't Suck and Some Do. My name's Neil.
And I'm Chris.
And guys, no matter if you get off of any off-ramp, make sure to not run into any kind of ghost game. Don't try to take a clip and make sure that all live screeners that are looking at you are not your mother, father, sister, brother, Frank when you're on the YouTube or Pornhub. You have a good night.